Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Nellieburg.
That'd be a little weird.
Or in Columbus, which of course is a suburb of Starkville.
Oh.
Are there a lot of suburbs? There are a lot of suburbs that are a 30-minute drive away from the city.
I mean, in giant town, cities.
Yeah. Yeah. Brooklyn. It's a suburb, I guess. Jesus.
Don't even get me started, please. Okay. On those three announcers.
Okay. It's not going to bring anything up. They said.
I'm angry enough.
That and these people, they give away their time and part of their lives for Gator baseball. They work there, you idiot. Your head nutritionist works for the university. That's her job. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Have it delivered right to your door. strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Don't forget, every purchase benefits the Bulldog Initiative. As does every purchase with our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business needs. Here's the deal. You want people in the doors of your business? Pip Printing and Signs has solutions and plans to get them there. If you need new signage to attract them from the road, if you need new mailers to attract them from home, whatever it is, Pip Printing and Signs can do it for you. And you'll be supporting the Bulldog Initiative. Every sale, 10% of it goes right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. Now, you're a business owner. You're already spending money on printing. Here's a way to not change any of your expenses, but help the Bulldog Initiative at the same time. That's a great deal. Camden Baker is the man to call, 601-499-5216. If you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. We got to swap everything out. All those Banner M polos, send them off. Send them off to the thrift stores. We're getting new gear. We're getting State Script, Interlocking, M over S, and College Corner is the place to get it. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Going to hit some lunch at restaurant. I didn't hit it this week like I originally planned to. And so now I'm having the shakes. I got to get some fried chicken, some fried catfish, something. I got to make that happen this week. I will do that. And Robbie, you should join me in that endeavor. So something's going on at Robbie's house. He's got their bobcat. What's going on there?
Can you hear that?
I cannot. What is it?
You can't hear that high pitched noise?
No. Well,
yeah, I have to take care of this.
You go ahead. I'll handle it from here, Robbie. Don't worry. Oh God, what am I supposed to do now? Robbie holds up the cue cards that I read for these ad reads. Priority One Bank. They have some locations. How many do they have? It's more than I can count. Robbie, can I see? I can't see the cue card. That 16 or 61? 61's a lot. Let's go with 16 locations throughout central Mississippi. Oh, he's back. All right. He can hold up that cue card now.
I'll explain whenever you get done.
Very good. 16. Thank you. When we were gone, I don't know what to say. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout central Mississippi here to serve you. PriorityOneBank.com is the website. You can find a location near you and start your relationship today. A bank that provides all of the financial services that a big bank can give you, but that down-home customer service that you only get when you deal with your community banks. Again, if you live in Central Mississippi, there's a location near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Everything okay over there?
So Becky has decided to start just putting alarms on every window and door in this house for whatever reason. And one of them just went off inexplicably. I have no reason to give as to why it went off because it's in the window that I'm looking at. So there wasn't somebody trying to get in the window over here.
Right.
But I don't know how you didn't hear that.
I didn't hear it. So
I guess the frequency of it was like so high pitched the microphone couldn't pick it up. Yeah. It's a very, very high pitched alarm.
Nobody wants that. You know who's trying to get in there? The Bobble Man.
The who?
The Bobble Man.
The Bobble Man.
Don't try to get on your equipment. That's a great reference. I wonder how many of our listeners are going to get it. I don't think you did either.
I needed right. something to laugh
we need
about.
Something
though.
Here. All right. Guys, I'm about to do something that's very unusual for me. Gonna have to stay with me on this one. It's not what you expect from old Brian Haydad, and certainly not what you expect from negative Nelly Robbie Falk. But we got to find the positives here, all right? I think if we had told everybody on Friday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're going to get that one game. They're going to win one game down there, and Mississippi State's going to get one win out of this series. Everybody's like, well, that's all they really need. That's all they really need. And then you watch the series play out, and State kind of controlled the series and led in the bottom of the ninth of every game, but only gets that one win. And I get it. You know, I get why you'd be down on this team. But Robbie, first off, all of my concerns about like the other shoe drop, this is just a good baseball team. They're fine. They will play postseason baseball. Will they host? I don't know. They got to start winning some more games. But they are an NCAA tournament team as it stands here today. That's not a question for me. Their next three series are all winnable. At home with Georgia, on the road at Ole Miss, at home against Auburn. You can win all three of those series. You can maybe get a sweep in there somewhere and put yourself in really good position. But two walk-off losses is painful, Robbie. I got one question. And if you're listening right now and you're a coach, and I know we have some great baseball coaches that listen to us. I know that Brad Haynes is a listener. I know that Justin Flake is one of our listeners. Brooks Roberts, of course, our good friend, is one of our listeners. He's a baseball coach. So you tell me if I'm stupid. You put it in the mentions. I don't care. Or just text me if you got my number. Brooks is one of those people. Would you just walk Caglione, even though he's the go-ahead run? Just walk him and let literally anybody else on that team beat you? That is my only concern.
Well, I think what I probably would have done right there is, even though he struggled the other night, I probably would have gone with Tyler Davis.
Just so because Boston just not an option there?
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't really pitched against SEC pitching that much in the first 2 years. Tyler Davis, I still think that was just kind of a bad night for him. I probably would have gone with him to lead off that inning.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is it's a, you know, lefty. And also one pitch right there is either going to tie the game or you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And since he had hit the first guy, you know, you can't let a guy that's been known to give up some big hits like that, and Evan Sayre, pitch to Jack Caglione. And you know, that's kind of the downfall with Evan Sayre is he will give you pitches to hit. He's going to pitch to contact. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you some fastballs right down the heart of the plate. That's just his game. He will compete with the strike zone, and that's not the guys that you want to have with him competing at the strike zone facing there. So it's tough. It's tough how it ended, and people, you know, coming in there and saying, you know, being upset about Evan Sayre or whatever. He had just thrown, you know, 2 2/3 really good innings, I thought. I thought he really competed well. I just didn't think Justin Parker made the right decision there, bring him out for the ninth. Second time that he's seen the top of the order at this point. give him a different look, give him a left-hander. Let's try to change the eye level a little bit and see what happens. And Tyler Davis has some good secondary pitches too. So that's probably who I would have gone to right there. And Tyler Davis might have got beaten as well. I don't know. But that's probably what I would have done there. I don't think that was a great decision.
I agree. And you know, I thought that I didn't have a huge problem letting Sieri lead off the inning. He's pitching well, but as soon as he hits the guy, you got to get I agree that, you know, you got to get a lefty in there. And if he gives up the home run, he gives up the home run. And we'd be second guessing. Well, they should have stuck with Sieri. I get it. Yes, but it's just one of those things when you lose a game like that, second guessing is just part of the nature. But let's talk.
I can't deal with the constant, like, living and dying on one game by what happens on the message board and social media. I can't.
Too many MSU baseball fans live baseball the same way they do football. Like, in football, when you lose a game, that's a problem. Right? You only have 12 of them. But in baseball, you lose a game, you come back, and there's another game in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just – and again, going on the road to a top-10 opponent and losing the series is just not a huge – it's not nothing to be concerned about, all right? If this team was number one in the nation this year and went down to Florida and lost 2 out of 3, then I would still be like, well, I mean, it's tough to win on the road. You know, that's what happens. You got to defend your home field.
I just don't like the – and we've reacted certain ways after one game with baseball based on a long-term evaluation of Mississippi State baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're constantly seeing the same issues come up and the team's not competing and things like that, it's okay to react that way. But we can look at this weekend and say, you know what? The way that turned out sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chance to sweep that series. You could have very easily won all three of those games, and you didn't take care of business. And that's fine. They didn't make the plays. They didn't pitch well enough down the stretch. That's fine. But you can look at this team through three SEC weekends, and you can see a drastic improvement, even at 4-5 at this point.
Yes.
You can see a team that has drastically improved in every facet of the game. That includes pitching, which wasn't great late in ball games. But you can't tell me that Cal Steven wasn't great on Friday night. Gerangelo Sanger wasn't great on Saturday. Evan Sieri didn't give you some good innings. Cam Schulke didn't give you some good innings. You can't tell me that you didn't see some really good things from Mississippi State on the mound against a really good lineup. So, just be patient. Let's see what this team does now that they're out of this stretch of games here. And I know LSU isn't what they were projected to be. I get that. But A&M's going to be a top-5 team probably for the rest of the year, it looks like. I think Florida's probably going to be top half of the league. So I'm willing to – and this is coming from two people that have been as vocal negatively against this program as anybody in the last 2 years, I think. Maybe not as extreme, but, you know, we've been pretty negative, I would say. We've been just reporting what we've seen. I think you and I can both look at this team for three weekends, knowing where they were coming in, and say, we think they're going to be okay.
I mean, the 19 team, third series of the year, lost a series at home to LSU. The 21 team, obviously, famously, was swept by Arkansas the second weekend of the season, right? To be 4-5 at this point is fine. It's absolutely fine. Now, these next three series, you need to win all three. You need to go, at worst, 6-3 in these next three. And if you can get to 7-2, if you can find a sweep. I mean, if I had told you after six series that they're going to be, at worst, like 10-8, you know, maybe even 11-7. I mean, they're on the path to host with that kind of conference record, because you still have Missouri in your back pocket at the end there. That's a team that, I mean, I know State a couple years back, I think it was 21, they played Missouri at the end of the season and lost 2 out of 3, and everybody was like, what the hell's going on? But that's a team you should sweep. You should sweep them at home at the end of the season. Alabama's a team you can win a series off of. Tennessee at home, maybe you can get that series if you play well. We'll see. But they have a chance here. And of course, us doing this podcast, the game ended an hour ago. So it's still raw. It's still, you know, you still feel that hurt of watching that ball go over the fence. But, you know, you think to a season ago, and what happens to that team in these series, right? They probably lose all three games. They get run ruled at least once. And in the other two games, they're definitely giving up 10, 11 runs, and maybe they get a few. They lose like 11 to 4, 11 to 5, something like that, right? They're walking the yard. They're playing terrible defense. I mean, the change has happened. They've turned the boat around, at least. So go ahead.
What hurt them in the two losses was free bases.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange. I mean, it's like they weren't really putting all these guys on until they like actually mattered. That's what's crazy. They had 11 free bases, I think, on Sunday, which I wonder how much that had to do with the fact that it seemed like they were pitching. The game plan was to pitch in to that lineup today.
It was. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, and those free bases, the only one that really cost them was the last one, right? Plunking the two-hole hitter.
Well, you say that. Every run they scored started with a leadoff hit batter or walk.
Yeah. And then the other thing, and this is, you know, where Ron Polk should chime in, but State's 2 inches away from being up 6-1 there when that guy makes the diving catch. I mean, if he doesn't make that catch, it's going to the wall. The base is going to get cleared. Hijack's going to be on third with two out, and they're rolling. And who knows? They might have added a couple of more runs. So they were really, really close to not only winning this series but sweeping it. That's as far as I'm concerned, I know it sounds weird. They lost two out of three, but that's a fine weekend. They played. They did as much as you. They did more than you could have hoped for coming into it. So
it just hurts because
loss. Yeah, exactly. It hurts.
It was a chance to. I mean, you could have been sitting here
statement.
6-3.
Yeah.
After three SEC weekends, when everybody thought you were going to win one
probably
game,
the top 10.
You
probably would be ranked in the top 10.
So that sucks.
Yeah.
And that would have definitely put you way ahead of schedule. And now you're talking about this team's going to host and probably be a top 16 seed at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. And now you've got to get back on your horse and keep fighting. I mean, I think what we've seen from this team, which has been the biggest thing for me, is they will fight back.
They have the right mentality.
Yes. So that is a really good sign because they're going to be playing some teams here in the next few weeks that, you know, I don't know if they have the same mentality. You know, as it sits right now, you go into Oxford against an Ole Miss team that's teetering a little bit and you're playing some good baseball and you're playing with that mentality, you can pick up – I can see them picking up three there. Mm-hmm. That's not outside the realm of possibility. You've owned that series. With the right mentality going into that series, that could be huge. If you can pick up a sweep somewhere down the line against a couple of teams, a Missouri, an Ole Miss, somebody like that, and you just don't falter down the stretch, this is a team that can do some big things. I came away more impressed by this team this weekend, actually, than I did coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a very disappointing result. At the end of the day, all that matters is whether you won the ball games or not. You didn't. But I think there is something to be said about the way that they played and being in position to win those games. You've just got to find a way to win these close ball games, and they haven't been able to do that this year.
Think about last year in that series at Kentucky, and they lost that tough game on Friday night where they had the lead. They completely capitulated the next two games. They got run ruled, I think, in both games. And this year, the way they lost on Friday, I was like, man, that's going to be tough to come back from. And instead, they played their best game of the season. Absolute domination from the start of the game to the finish. Sanjay gave you a tremendous performance. The hitting was locked in. It was fantastic. So, yeah, I agree with you. Mentally, this team is right. They are on the right path. They just got to get some more wins. This needs to be, at worst, a 3-1 week. It would go a long way to be 4-0. Georgia can put runs on the board, though, because they have the most unstoppable force in college baseball right now. So, you know, just got to work around him as best you can. But
they're not throw pitches to him.
Yeah, under no circumstance. Just I would not pitch to him the whole weekend. I would put him on. I don't care what the situation is. I would put him on every. He's hitting 500. He's hitting over 500. That doesn't make any sense. So
he has a 50-50 chance of getting on base every time he comes to the plate. Yeah, that's insane.
Just put him on. Limit the damage. So big week, big series this weekend with Georgia as the Bulldog. But I'm thoroughly impressed with this team thus far. They have turned it around in my mind. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You know, I like steak, and I think all of our listeners do too. I'm sure there's a couple of vegetarians out there. You want steak. You'd like to have a steak. You just can't bring yourself to do it. I get it. That's fine. I'm not here to judge you. Those of us who are eating steak are happy. So if you want to be happy, eat a steak. Not science, but it really kind of is. Enjoy a great steak this week. It's going to be this week's weather is unbelievable. We're going to have some great times. Fire up the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food you are looking for. I did make it at Two Brothers this week, and I decided to go another way this week. And I've been tacos and prime rib sandwich, and I hadn't had the pork rind nachos. I hadn't had them in so long, and I was like, I'm gonna have pork rind nachos today. And guess what? You're not gonna believe it. You ready? They were awesome. They were fantastic.
What?
They were so good. Yeah. So they made me shout out loud. So
that's a different band.
It doesn't matter. You know, Paul Stanley would eat some pork rind nachos too.
Lick it up. Lick it up.
Can we make Lick It Up like the official song of Two Brothers Smoked Meats? I don't know.
Don't want to wait till you know me better.
It seems like that would be better for Churn and Spoon, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Can we get Paul Stanley to do a live read for Churn and Spoon? Let's just be glad for the time together. we've kind of, yeah. I'll tell Terry that Shane owes him $1.50 for the sack read. We went both ways on it. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place for smoked Southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. If you need technology for your business, give them a call. If you need a new copy or a new printer, new computers, whatever it is. Then if something goes wrong and you have a problem, you can call back the same people who made the sale to you. And that's the difference that Advantage Business Systems has. They're a Mississippi business. A lot of times, if you got a problem, they can fix it the same day. They can be out there to fix it the same day. Your business can't afford to wait on a call center or an out-of-state technician. It shouldn't have to. Advantage Business Systems won't make you do it. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. The Maroon & Co. promise is this: unique, awesome Mississippi State merchandise that you can't find anywhere else. Custom cowbells from the Bellsmith, exclusive providers of Bulldog Initiative gear. It's all in one place right there off campus at Maroon & Co. So this spring, when you're headed to Mississippi State, if you're going to a game at Diddy Noble, if you're headed to the spring game on Super Bulldog weekend, whatever it is, make sure you make a stop at Maroon & Co. And don't forget the promo code. You can save some money. Thunder15 is the promo code. 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the ballpark, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. It's scrimmage time, Robbie. Spring football has sprung. We are scrimmaging out there. And I'm kind of surprised, based off of what I've heard, that it was the defense that had the day on Saturday. Are you just not knowing anything about the scrimmage, not being able to witness it? Does me telling you that surprise you?
You mean the offense was horrible?
No, I don't do this.
That's usually how it goes, isn't it?
That is how it goes. Yeah, and look, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, you got a scrimmage report and Antonio Hargrove had 6 catches for 180 yards. You're like, that guy's going to be unstoppable. No, Ron Cooper's defense was miserable. I get that. But just, I think there was just a thought process among Mississippi State fans and maybe the media as well, that that with Lebby and the way he runs offense and the way his staff kind of should be ahead of the curve a little bit, that they might be out in front. But I was told that the defense, they were fast, physical. I'm going to use some cliches here. They had
an aggressive.
They were aggressive.
There you go.
Were multiple. They showed a lot of different looks and a lot of different coverages. But that being said, that's going to be the key to success for State this year, because it's not going to be like State. It's not going to be like 2018, where it's just like, hey, are Jeff Simmons and Montez Sweat on the field? Yes. All right, we're good. They're going to have to be aggressive. They're going to have to show a lot of different looks and keep people guessing. So that's pleasant news as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'll say this. I saw them for 20 minutes, and it's very difficult to take away a ton in 20 minutes. But I was impressed with how Coleman Hutzler conducted himself in practice and how fired up that group was. And the thing is, like, if you're lacking in talent or experience – if you can make up for it in effort, playing hard, going 110% at all times, that goes a long way. I mean, it really does. So this defense might be bad. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But from what I've heard and what I've seen, very little I've seen, they are playing fast. And just like you said, I mean, they're hitting hard. It's an aggressive defense. It's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen under Zach Arnett, because – the style of player is moving around in different positions. John Lewis is playing more inside some. We've seen guys that are normally defensive end, they're going to stand up a little bit. So it's, you know, to me, it's going to be – I like the scheme. I think it's a good scheme where you can hide a lot of your deficiencies. It's just going to be one of those deals where guys are going to have to step up that haven't played a lot of reps to this point.
Yeah.
And I still think they need to probably go out there and get some difference makers in the portal. But the fact that we're already hearing and seeing a little bit of the defense being ahead of the curve from what we thought they would be, I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's, you know, the offense is bad or the offense isn't getting off the ground right now. I do think that you probably have an offense that's still trying to get on the same page with Jeff Lebby, and you're installing certain things at this point. So it is going to be behind a little bit right now, but still the defense making plays at this point is a good thing, I think.
I mean, that's what we always hear, right? Defense is ahead of the offense early in the season. And yeah, I mean, you're talking about it's a new offense and all the, none of the quarterbacks ran it last year. So it's not like Lebby, if Dylan Gabriel were here, I would expect the offense to be humming early. Right? Because he would just step right in. But Chapin's got to learn things. Parsons got to learn things. And Van Buren has to learn things. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some teaching there for sure. I think that Lebby is happy as much as a head football coach can be with where his team is. When we talked to him on Thursday, you know, he felt good about where his team was at. But, you know, okay, we're going to do it again here. We're going to see you have a little positive pride. And I'm sorry. I don't like it any more than you do. But, you know, Mississippi State has, and you've mentioned this before, has always been at least halfway decent defensively, right? The Peter Sermon year is the huge outlier. Yeah. Every other year, I mean, there have been years where they haven't been great, but they've been good enough to get off the field when they needed to. And, you know, you've got some guys who haven't played to their potential yet. But that's the key word, right, is they have that potential. You know, this is not just a bunch of, you know, guys that nobody wanted. Trevion Williams and Calvin Dinkins and John Lewis, and these are guys that, you know, had offers. You know, you got some young, talented guys. We just haven't seen it yet. It's possible that just getting them out there on the field unlocks some of that. So, and again, I've stressed this and we've said it 100 times thus far is, you don't need this defense to be a top 10 defense. If the offense can do what Jeff Lebby, if he can deliver what he's delivered everywhere else, having an 80th or 90th ranked defense means you're in a bowl game for sure. For sure. So, right now,
I would say the pressure is probably on the offense to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need the off. Because even if the defense.
That's what Lebby is, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if the defense is like top 50. You're still going to have to score some points.
Right.
You're still going to have to score 30 plus. So to me, I mean, the offense is really what I'm looking forward. And the defense, I'm putting very little pressure on the defense this year. If you can just get some stops, like, can you get, you know, four or five stops? That's basically what I'm looking for Mississippi State, because I feel like this offense is going to score. So at this point, you just need the defense just to bend but don't break, force field goals, get stops. Mm-hmm. That's what you're looking for with the defense. You're not looking for this defense to be a top 25 defense this year.
Agreed.
That's what you had to have happen last season.
If they're a top 25 defense this year, State's going to win like 9 games. I mean,
they might be going to the playoff, brother.
Yeah, I mean, they would be close. If this is a top 25 defense, I would think they would be easily a top 15 team. So I don't think that's going to be the case, but we shall see. What are we, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from Super Bowl Dog Weekend, where I'll get our first real look. It does not appear there's going to be any scrimmage access for us in the media, and very limited practice access on top of that. So don't expect much from me or Robbie or from anybody else. And if anybody else is like, oh, this is what we saw at practice today, and they're giving you a lot of info,
Well, you know, if Jeff Lebby's winning games, nobody's going to care about
nobody
that.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Me chief among them, I promise you. So.
Right. First, I do want to say on this Easter Sunday, I hope everybody's had a great Easter, but
absolutely,
my condolences are to our friend Stefan Krasnick, who's who's hated Purdue Boilermakers are going to the Final Four.
But at the same time, congratulations to our friend Robbie Donahoe, whose beloved Purdue Boilermakers are going to the Final Four. You and I live in an interesting world. Hey, speaking of basketball. All right, we hadn't had a chance to play that song.
I totally forgot about this, by the way. I thought we were heading out.
Well, we had one more thing, yeah, we got to cover it because this is a big weekend for Chris Jans. Picked up a couple of key players. One of them is not really a pickup; it's a keep, and that's Cam Matthews. Am I often thinking that Cam Matthews could be one of the faces of college basketball next year? Like, he's that guy that every announcer is going to be in love with. Like, man, you give me a team full of Cam Matthews, I'll win a lot of games. Which isn't true, right? Because they can't shoot, but they do all the other stuff. Cam Matthews coming back is huge for State.
If they get to the tournament again next year and they put some good pieces around, which they've gotten a good start, which we're going to talk about, but if they get to the tournament and they win that first game, everybody's going to be talking about Cam Matthews and Josh Hubbard, because Josh Hubbard's a guy that can fill it up, can score from anywhere on the court, things like that. And then Cam Matthews is just like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be, yeah, they'll be the talk of college basketball if this team does what it can do, if they fill the holes that they need to fill.
Well, they filled one of them this weekend when a guy who, you know, I'd heard he was on campus and they wanted to keep that tight-lipped, and so they did. But Penn State transfer Kanye Clary joins the Bulldogs, a guy who shot 46% from the floor last year, 38% from behind the arc, averaged nearly 17 a game with 3 assists a game. Not a big guy, only 5'10". State's going to have one of the smaller backcourts, but in terms of quickness and in terms of being able to get shots off, I think that, and you and I have talked about this, I think Jans is saying, let me get some shot makers in here. Let me get some offensive guys. I can teach them to play defense.
Yeah.
And you just sort of go from there. And now, that sort of changes your priorities a little bit in terms of you don't need to go get a 5 who gives you what Tolu gave you. You don't have to have 17 and 8 from that guy. You need a rim protector, a guy who can clean up and get you 8 or 9 points per game. But your backcourt now, they need to get a 3 that can help add to the point tally, but you don't have to go out and get an elite 5 at this point. You just got to get a good one.
No, that's exactly what I'm looking for out of the portal, by the way, is that guy that can defend, athletic on that end of the court. I'm no longer really looking for a true big. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say like true big, like the old school big. Like, I kind of consider Tolu Smith in that realm. I'm looking for
very old school. Tolu Smith would have been a top 10 pick 20 years ago.
Right. I think I'm looking for somebody that is athletic, that can do multiple things for you, defend, block shots around the rim. It doesn't even have to be somebody that's going to average 15, 16 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Can this guy average 12 points, 9.5, 10 rebounds, block, you know, 2-3 shots a game or something?
You know who you want if he was, you know, he's obviously didn't have any more eligibility. Eric Holman.
Yeah, or I might take an Abdul Adu on this team next year.
Well, I was just thinking, like, with Holman, that's a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit. He can shoot.
I kind of see Holman more like a four in this game. But
I agree with what you're saying, but Cam Matthews is the four on this team. If Eric Holman was a five, he can get rebounds, he can block shots, he can play defense, but offensively, he's just so much more skilled and can shoot the three ball. A Holman type guy, if they could get one of those, would be really. I think Eric Holman to me is one of the most underrated basketball players State's had in the last 10 years. He was a good player for State, but people forget about him sometimes.
The guy I really want is Cliff Amori from Rutgers.
Yeah, that would be a good get.
If it's not him, a guy like that.
Right.
And State actually went up against him, which Jimmy Bell had a really good game in that game against him. But that's kind of the guy I'm looking for, is the guy that is going to be athletic enough to do things for you on both ends of the floor. I think he averaged double figures, was close to 9 rebounds. He averaged a couple of blocks a game. That's the kind of guy I'm looking for this time around. I think Mississippi State is shifting its philosophy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be big for them moving forward, to have a more offensive team. And you can always kind of help guys defensively. But you can't really grow someone's offensive game if it's just not there.
Yes.
You know, you can to a certain extent, but there's a ceiling there. There, you know, it's going to be tough to make someone who can't shoot a shooter.
Yeah.
But you can make somebody
try to do it every year, and it's like it never works. How many times you see an NBA guy, like, great athlete, and they draft him? He's got all the tools. He's just not a great shooter. Oh, we can coach that. No, you're either a shooter or you're not most times. So, good pickups for state basketball. Right now, I mean, I assume that the next couple of pickups will be along these lines. I mean, there's no reason to think State won't be a tournament team again. They've got a great nucleus right now to build around. So. All right, tomorrow's show, baseball, football, whatever. We got some positional breakdowns to do. We'll do tight ends tomorrow. Seydou Traore, let's talk about him on tomorrow's show. SEC previews this week, LSU, Ole Miss, and let's welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to the program. So we'll talk about the Oklahoma Sooners for the first time here on Thunder and Lightning this week. Guys, have a great Monday. Robbie and I'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falkamp, hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.